And it's in John chapter 8, and that is on page 1074, if you'd like to be reading it in the blue Bibles. 1074, John chapter 8 and verse 32. It says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That's it. "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That's what I want to talk about this evening. Oh, before I start talking about this evening, I want to give an apology for the implication I gave this morning that our house was a mess. It's not a mess. It's absolutely sparkling. Every piece of dust is in its right place. And I'm hoping that will get me back into our house tonight. Right. I had to say that. John chapter 8 and verse 32. "The truth will set you free." Okay, it's sometimes funny where the Lord gives you inspiration for sermons. And you don't have to be kneeling down by your bed in prayer. You don't have to be with your head stuck in a massive, thick theological commentary about the Bible. I was lying in the dentist's chair a couple of months ago, like that, with mouth open wide, having some specialist treatment done, and every now and again I'd hear the dentist or go, So, I couldn't see the expression on his face because I had my eyes shut, but I knew it wasn't going well. And as I lay there listening to Mozart, playing in the background, time went on. Swallowing was becoming very difficult. And if you keep your mouth open a while, trying to swallow was becoming difficult. Anyway, it seemed like it was taking a long time. I went into the room in broad daylight, but it was now dark outside. I only realised afterwards how long I was lying there. Having your mouth open for over an hour is quite difficult for me. I realise some people have no problem at all opening their mouth for an hour or so, mentioning no names. But I just wanted it to end. I just wanted to be out of there. And there was a chorus that kept coming into my head, and it was by the band Queen. And it kept coming into my head as I lay there. I want to break free. I want to break free. Now, I have it on good authority that Matthew does an excellent Freddie Mercury impression. If you want to see him afterwards, I'm sure he'd be only too willing to give you that. I want to break free. In fact, if you look at Freddie Mercury's songs, there are quite a few references to a desire to be free, to be rescued, to be saved. He sung about being under pressure. He wanted to be let go. I'm sure you know his most famous song, Bohemian Rhapsody, and it's got a choral bit in the middle. I'm not going to sing it. And it goes, "Will you let me go? No, I will not let you go." He sang that in the middle there. I'm sure you've heard of it in the past. The search for freedom. Freddie Mercury didn't manage to find the freedom he was looking for. He died as a result of pneumonia brought on by HIV/AIDS when only in his 40s. 45 years ago, Dr. Martin Luther King stood and gave a famous speech. I'm sure you've heard it. "I have a dream," he said. And he echoed the thoughts and feelings of all coloured, minority and disadvantaged peoples down through the centuries. He and many others were calling for equality, for justice, and freedom. This was his dream. And he quoted the patriotic song of America, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring." And he called to the people. He called the people to let freedom ring. This was his dream. He was expressing the desires of his people to be free. He said, "From every mountainside, let freedom ring." When we let freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we'll be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing, in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty, we're free at last." 5 years later, 40 years ago, on the 3rd of April, lots of things happening in April, as we heard this morning, 1968, he gave a speech which became known as his mountaintop speech, which he ended, "And he," talk about God, "and he has allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, I'm not worried about anything, I'm not fearing any man. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." He found his personal freedom. The very next day, he was assassinated. On the 2nd of April this year, Izzy Mutanhawa, you won't know him, but anyway, he posted a message on the internet, and he wrote this: "The people of Zimbabwe exercise their democratic rights to vote for change, change that they can trust, to vote for life, food, education, jobs, dignity and democracy. The Zimbabwean people are now free at last. It's hard to believe Mugabe is gone. Thank you to the people of Zimbabwe that voted for genuine change. Goodbye, Bob, and welcome new Zimbabwe. Free at last." This was the 2nd of April this year. We now know that these feelings were very premature, considering all that has happened in the last 2-3 weeks. But the strong desire for freedom is still there. That person is still looking for freedom for Zimbabwe. April the 6th, the Olympic torch was carried across London, its progress halted by protesters. What were they crying? "Free Tibet." Isn't this a feeling we all have? We may not be suppressed or oppressed in this country, as in other countries, but don't we all want to be free? I'm sure we do. And I'm sure that we spend a lot of time and energy trying to be free of things which we feel stop us being free. We don't have to be physically imprisoned to feel imprisoned. We don't have to physically be in prison to feel imprisoned. We can feel imprisoned in our home. Mortgage to pay for, there's always something that needs doing around the house. Maintenance, washing up, cleaning, tidying, cooking, and that's just the men. I want to be free of this. You may feel restricted by work. Same routine every day. Get up, go to work, you do your best to please, come home, telly, bed. And it goes on day after day, trapped in your daily routine. When's my next holiday? At the gates of some Nazi concentration camps were the words "Arbeitsmacht frei." I'm sure you all know that means work sets you free, work liberates. It certainly didn't set the Jewish inmates free. And it's not a liberating experience nowadays either. Perhaps you feel trapped by physical infirmity. We're all caught up in the downward spiral of declining health. Somebody said, from the moment you're born, you're dying. Bit pessimistic, but some of us aren't as young as we used to be. Gone are my marathon running days. Perhaps we're feeling the infirmity that comes with increasing age. Perhaps we can't get out as we'd like to. Perhaps we're not free to do what we want to do, when we want to do it. And we're not that good at it now anyway. We're not free. We long to be free from the things that restrict us. It may not be physical, it may be mental. Something that goes on in your mind that denies you freedom. You feel forced to do something just because it's what everybody does. You don't really want to do it, but you feel you have to. Perhaps this is more worrying than physical restriction. In your mind, you're a prisoner to all kinds of thoughts, all kinds of feelings, and you just want to get rid. So what do? You try and get out of it, obviously. You want to get out of the house. You have a holiday. You go to new places. Maybe make new friends. But sometimes these can lead to new restrictions. For example, many use sport as a means of escape. I went to watch Brighton play football. That's a very loose description. Play football a couple of weeks back. And I found it quite comical, but also very sad. And that was just the football. No. Listening to what was going on all around me. This was obviously the highlight of these people's week. They've worked hard all week, and their time of freedom is watching a football match. But they're still not free. One stands, they all stand. One moans, they all moan. One shouts at the ref, they all shout at the ref. One sings, they all sing. In fact, they have a language of their own. I'll need Brian to translate this for me. That's the good is no idea. She goes. That's an easy one? Right. Albion and see, they have their own language, they chant these things out. And they are all trapped in this oneness. The sad thing is, it doesn't matter how old you are or what sex you are. There was a 10-year-old girl behind me, and she was singing along and slating the ref just like the rest of them were. I obviously generalise. Sometimes it's good fun. but it doesn't seem to be when I go and watch them. Never mind. We long to be as free as a bird, floating above the earth without a care. Craig tried it once. And he said it was great, he wants to do it again. But I can guarantee every time he'll still come back down to earth. Faster than he'd like, perhaps. But we all have that longing to be free. We're trapped. We're imprisoned. We want to get out of here. We want to escape. Is there a way out? Can we ever be free? Is this what life is all about? Is this you? Be honest. Come on, we all feel like that sometimes, don't we? I know I do. There's a wonderful verse. This verse that I read earlier. There's a wonderful verse, John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 32, where Jesus says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." This verse is clearly telling us that there is a way for us to be set free. Isn't that what we want? Freedom. To be set free. Isn't that one of the reasons why people go out partying till early hours in the morning, dabble with drugs or alcohol, go shopping, they use that as a way of getting out, or even emigrate to Australia. People just want to be free. And this verse is telling us that the way to be set free is to know the truth. That's great, but like with most of the Bible, to read something makes you think further, makes you ask another question. And you realise that after you become a Christian, it's a time when you grow. You don't know all the answers when you first come to know the Lord. You grow as time goes on. There's always more for us to know. And we will never know all there is to know about God, because God wouldn't be God if we could confine him into our little finite minds. So there's always something new, always something more that we need to get to know. So we're asked. We then ask another question. So when you read this verse, you then have to ask, can we know ultimate truth? For so many people say that there are many strands of the same truth. They say each of us can know our little bit. They say that each religion has a strand of truth. We can't know ultimate truth. Everybody has a little bit. This verse says, you will know the truth, and you will be set free. It clearly says that we can know the truth. So what is the truth that will set you free? Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That begins in John's Gospel. Jesus says that he is the truth. So to know Jesus' truth, to know him, will set you free. That's what it's talking about here. We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 14 onwards, of an occasion when Jesus was in Nazareth. It's chapter 4 of Luke's Gospel, if you want to follow it, verse 14 onwards. Jesus was in Nazareth, and he went into the synagogue where Jews were worshipping. He stood and read a quote from the book of Isaiah, which is in the Old Testament, verses 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. He then rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." What is Jesus saying here? Jesus is clearly saying that he is the one who is prophesied to come as king of his people. The Jews thought that when the promised king came, he would be a warrior king. He would come and set his people free from all oppression, that he would release them from occupation. Jesus is saying here that that kind of king is not the true king of the Jews. He is the truth. Jesus has come to fulfill the prophecy of the Old Testament, but not in the way that they were expecting. Jesus came to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for prisoners, to make the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, to release the oppressed. He came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. That means that there is a way of salvation, and now is the time for you to be saved. This is the year of God's favour. Jesus says, "I have come so that you can know the truth about God. You can know the way to God. It's in me, Jesus. You can know release from whatever's enslaving you, whatever's imprisoning you, whatever's trapping you, by knowing the truth. Believe in me," Jesus says. "Know me. My truth will set you free." Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." I saw this advert in a local magazine recently. At the top it says, "Live life to the full." It goes on to list all the things you could possibly need in life. 250 acres of beautiful ground. Cafe, bar, restaurant, library, bowling green, swimming pool, tennis court, fishing lake, gym, car club, and 24-hour emergency support. Prices starting at only £335,000 if you want to put your name down. Live life to the full. To the full, is that it? Will that satisfy you? It wouldn't satisfy me. What about McDonald's? Live life to the full? Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life." But he says more than that. "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." As attractive as this place in the advert sounds, you know and I know there is so much more to life. There has to be. Jesus offers life to the full. We all want to be free to enjoy that life to the full. I'm sure you know, and Sue mentioned it earlier, I'm sure you know of the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus provided physical food in a miracle. But Jesus then went on to say that what people really need is spiritual food. He said, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." We sang about that earlier. Jesus gives life to the world, but not just temporary life. He doesn't just feed you for a little while. The food he comes to give to those that believe in him is eternal. It lasts forever. Jesus says, "If you come to me, I am the way of salvation. I will bring you freedom. Not just temporarily, but forever. This is life to the full." Jesus came from heaven and lived for 30 odd years on our planet, and while he was here, he physically set people free from their illnesses, from their sicknesses, from being possessed by demons. He made the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame jump for joy. You hear nowadays of people being healed miraculously. At other times God works through the wonderful gifts he's given to surgeons and doctors to bring healing. That's the here and now. But Jesus is concerned with eternity. Life here and now is a preparation for eternity. He came to give life to the full, not just here and now, but into eternity. There are times when we as Christians, we still feel trapped. We still long for freedom from pressures and situations that restrain us in some way. But God is with his people. Pray to him. Focus on him. Lift your eyes from the problem down here to the solution up there. Jesus will set you free. He's concerned for your eternity. Jesus' work is a work for eternity. He opens blind eyes to see the truth. He unstops deaf ears to hear the truth. He enables the lame to walk in the ways of truth. He sets the stubborn, self-sufficient, proud heart free to recognize and accept the truth. But there is something we need to do. We have to believe and we have to obey. Let's go back to where we started this evening. Let's go back to John chapter 8 and verse 32 is where we started. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. The verse before that one, verse 31. John chapter 8, it was on page 11 something or other. 1074, sorry. 1074 it was on. Verse 31 says, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Then. There is something for us to do. Being set free by the truth comes only when we believe in the truth. When we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came to bring salvation. He came to bring us that freedom and that life in all its fullness. How did he do that? He did that by dying on the cross. He had to do that because we've all sinned. That is, neglected God in the way that we live our lives. We haven't acknowledged God for who he is. We went our own way. The Bible calls that sin. And when he died on the cross, Jesus, in a sacrificial way, paid for our sins. Because he took upon himself the punishment for our sins, we can be free to enjoy the relationship with God that he always wanted us to have. When Jesus rose from the dead on that first Easter day, he showed that he had the victory over sin and death. He was freed from death. So now we too can know that same freedom. We have to believe that these things are true. That Jesus died for us, for you, for me. No one comes to the Father, no one comes to God, except through me, Jesus said. Salvation and freedom from our sins is found in no other, only Jesus. Believing these things, we need to ask God's forgiveness for the wrong things we've done and tell him we want to go his way, the true way. And once we do this, God saves us, has promised to set us free. But the Bible tells us we need to work out our salvation. We are Christians, but our lives as Christians need to show that we are saved. We need to go on believing. We need to believe each and every day. We need to renew our belief. It's not a one-off thing. We need to nurture our belief. We need to grow. We can't stand still. We need to get to know the truth more. We need to get to know Jesus better. And as we do that, that will encourage our belief, get rid of our unbelief, because while we're in this life, there will still be times of unbelief. There will still be times of doubt. We are still human. We are still living in a fallen world. there will still be doubts. But as I said earlier, we can never know everything there is to know about God, but we've been set free from the guilt of our sins, although we may be tempted by those sins continuously. Cling to God. He can set you free. Do you want to be free? Jesus says, "Lift your chains. I hold the key. All power in heaven and on earth is given to me. Only I can set you free," says Jesus. Let's be determined to get to know more of the truth day by day, because Jesus promises you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I quoted from the American song My Country 'Tis of Thee earlier. The fourth verse goes like this: "Our Father's God to thee, Author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King." God is the author of liberty. In him there is true freedom. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you have made it possible that we can know your truth. Father, although you are Almighty God and you created everything that is, never was, never will be, we thank you that although you are Almighty Creator God, you want to have dealings with us. You want us to be your children. You want us to know your love. You want us to be free of the things that hold us back, free so that we can serve you, so that we can live the lives you want to give us, free so that we can know your love in our lives. We can be set free to worship you. Father, we do pray that your Spirit would continue to work in our hearts and in our lives and bring us closer to yourself, because you are concerned for our freedom in eternity. We thank you that we can know and experience your work in our lives day by day, and may we continue to seek you. Give us a desire to know you more and more as we go about our daily business. May we know more of your grace. May we know more of your love in our lives. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.